Everything has to step up now. Everything has to go to the next level.
He really has the ability to read those holes and really gravitate towards making those big plays, whether it's in the rushing game or in the passing game.
This guy's got something to him. We've seen him throw the ball. I mean, you really got to ask yourself, what can he not do? And he's the ultimate team player.
It's hard to overlook the ability and the potential that this young man has.
Welcome to Raiders Rundown. I'm JT, thrilled to have you on all the Raiders platforms, especially YouTube, as we roll on today on a Wednesday on to Cincinnati. We'll look back at the loss at home to Kansas City and get ready for the Raiders bye week, which is just around the corner. I wish it would have came a little bit earlier in the season because the Raiders have suffered massive injuries on both sides of the ball, no excuse. Many teams are going through the same thing, but the Raiders have lost just a cavalcade of stars who are not available and not coming back. So it's been next man up for a while, and the Raiders had an opportunity to beat Kansas City and came up short again as the Raiders were 2-2. Now as the Raiders look at 2-6, it is some heavy uphill sledding, and the Raiders got to get a win. And they got to get one in Cincinnati, and they got to do it quick, and they got to play a complete football game. And that's really been the story of the season. Some bright spots, a lot of injuries, players making plays, but not sustaining any success. And then a mistake or two cost them the game. And let this be said again, as I was there, I'm a season ticket holder, and I was at Allegiant Stadium for Kansas City as the world champs came to town. Raiders should have won that game. I thought they were the better team for most of the game. Now, look, third down conversions were pretty ugly. But the fact that they were up 10-7 in that game and had an opportunity to have the lead once again and didn't take control of that, were in the game late, one costly turnover fumble at the end took them out of the game. But they went toe-to-toe physically with Kansas City, and they went right at them. I wish they would have guarded Kelce a little bit better, as we suggested last week. But I loved the way the Raiders fought, and we're going to get into all that coming up on this hour of Raiders Rundown. So we'll have the head coach, Antonio Pierce. Lincoln Kennedy is going to join us in a few moments, and Levi Edwards will be our insider this week. And for the frustration of Raider fans, as we're a day away from Halloween, happy Halloween. Hope everyone's safe, has a great time with their kids and family and friends. You know, the Raiders could look back on this season and say, how are we going to finish the season? You got to get to the bye week. They're at the bye week after Cincinnati. They need a break. They need a break mentally and physically. It's been hard on them. Then they got to come back and go to Miami, and there's Atlanta on Monday night. There's some big games coming up. Another one with the Chargers in Denver, and they got a lot to play for. And I know fans are frustrated, and I know what you want to talk about. Now, I know how you want to get into certain topics, but we focus here every week on the opponent, the upcoming opponent, and what happened last week, and we'll get going with that. But I thought it would be pretty cool if we started off with what I saw yesterday with Max Crosby. He's on the Let's Go podcast. This is a really big deal. He replaced Tom Brady, as Tom Brady on SiriusXM became a minority owner of the Raiders, and now he's a full-time employee at Fox calling football games. So with Jim Gray and Bill Belichick, they had Max Crosby, and I thought Belichick's comments on the preparation, the heart of Mad Max, you need to see this.
You know, for me as a leader, a captain, somebody who's focus on being the best version of myself, you know, on and off the field. The only thing I can do is respond, because I have people looking up to me and relying on me every single down and every day in this building. So, yeah, you know, there's a ton of noise, but for me, I just look at it as managing the noise, not falling into the trap and doing what everyone wants you to do. It's just doing what actually matters and continuing to improve.
Yeah, Max, you do a good job of that. I've been on the practice field with you. I've been on the game field with you. The effort that you play with on a every down basis is extremely impressive. And I'm sure that, you know, each coach and each player, you know, can look at it and say, nobody's given more than Max Crosby is. Nobody's working harder. Nobody's, you know, given more effort and more and put more into it than you are. And that motivates everybody else. So I think that's a Jim, I'm telling you, nobody practices harder than Max. I mean, it's really, it's honestly, it's at times you kind of want to say, hey, just slow down, but you don't want to ever say that. But it forces everybody else to practice and play better and play up to his level. And so it really is impressive, Max. I think that, you know, that leadership is really the best thing any player can do is play hard, give his best, and that inspires everybody else to do the same.
And that airs on SiriusXM. I'm proud to be on that platform on Mad Dog Sports Radio. And I thought it was important to open up with that and the team here behind the scenes, because this is what this season is now about. You play to the finish line, no matter what the record is, and you have the easiest guy in the league to follow. Right, Max shows up first, he leaves last, he works out afterwards, he plays really hard when he practices, and he doesn't come out of the game. What more do you need to see as a fan base? And you want more wins, we get that, but as a player, than just to follow Max. Be as professional as he is as he prepares for every game. I just think it's outstanding to be around Mad Max. For the decades I've been with this team, he is arguably the hardest player when it comes to preparation and workouts that I've ever seen. And there's been legends and gold jackets in this organization, as you know. He's just fantastic. Now I want to pivot to Brock Bowers. He leads the league in receptions as a rookie tight end. Let that sink in with all the wide receivers that are out there, all the future gold jacket wide receivers, and Brock Bowers comes in as a rookie. But the problem with Brock now is, how can you lead the league in receptions but not have a touchdown? And I think that's a big problem right now that Eric Allen and James Jones talked about recently on Raiders game day.
It'll be a shame to get to the end of the season and have him have all these great opportunities when we didn't utilize him right now. Like, he needs to be utilized like this right now.
He's ready. Did you see the bottom of the screen where it said the time of his last catch in the second quarter and then the time of his next catch in the fourth quarter? I did some quick math. It was roughly 29 minutes. 29 minutes of a game. Your best player is not getting the ball. Yeah. You're not going to win.
You get checked out. Yeah. And me being a pass catcher, I know. It was games to where I get a ball in the first quarter and not get a ball until the fourth quarter, and Aaron Rodgers would come up to me, hey, you ready? No. I've been gone. I'm checked out. I'm not in the rhythm no more. I'm not in the groove. I'm checked out.
And it's not like he's in a man-on-man situation where a DB is covering him, going from one spot to another, and the quarterback's looking at him saying, no, you're covered.
Yeah.
He's just disappeared because we haven't put him in the play.
We ran that play one time. We put him out wide one time, and McDuffie guarded him,
right,
and that was the play, and we didn't put him out there no more.
Right, right. I would have saw Travis Kelce make a play, and then I line up my guy in the same position.
Come on, man.
I think that's really good content as we bring in one of the great tackles in Raiders history, Lincoln Kennedy, part of the broadcast team, as he's back after Vegas and back. Man, you're getting some miles there. But, Link, as I say hello, let's comment on what you just heard there. We got to get Brock going in the red zone. He's the number one featured player on this team now that Devontae's gone. How do they get him the ball?
Well, first of all, it starts up top, JT. The fact is that you've got to engineer plays to find a way to get him open based on what the defenses that you're playing are going to do to you. If you play a team that plays a lot of man, you got to have what we call rub routes or pick routes to try to free him up. If you play a team that plays a lot of zone, then you've got to have gaps where you know he's going to be able to sit in the zone. That's step number one. You have to create plays for him. That's going to get him the ball on that play. Step number two is basically coaching your quarterback to say, this play is supposed to go to Brock. If he's not open, you got to throw it to somewhere else. This is where you go. That's what you have to work yourself up to. That's a progression that works into identity. You talk about teams that are able to run the ball successfully. They start out with the basic run, and then they expand it, and they see where they are. It's the same thing with the passing game. If you have a player that you're dedicating trying to get the football to, you've got to be creative in ways to do it. And look, you don't have to look that further because the tight end has been a big part of the NFL for quite some time. We go back to the great tight ends like Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, Travis Kelce, Gronk, all these guys, and find a way. You study those plays and find a way how those particular teams got their big guy the ball. There's times where I'm able to call it out on the sideline from doing the game. I told Jason this past weekend, I said, this is a play where they like to look for Travis Kelce. Next thing you know, they throw a little shovel pass to him. It's somewhat predictable, but it's still hard to stop. So that's how you start, and that's how you're supposed to get there, JT.
Yeah, Lincoln, I'm going to push back on this a little bit because you watch the games and you call it with Jason Horowitz. There are plays where he must get the ball. That's it. Now, you can line him up wide. And when you line them up wide, I think that's fun. We did that with Darren Waller. Typically, old days, you didn't do that. Casper was in the interior. But we had Todd Christensen in this organization, and he caught the ball every time he was covered. So the concept must be, well, if Brock's there, but there's safety over the top, let's look somewhere else. No, no, no. This is a 2-6 team. This is a team that's got to force the ball to him at times. And I'm just talking about the red zone. You saw it. You called it. He had a fade. He caught a fade in the last game. That's a 50-50 ball. And he caught it easily against one of the better corners on a world championship team. So when you get down into the 18-12 four-yard line, Lincoln, do you put him in motion? Do you kind of give him a reverse? What do you do? Or just get him out wide one-on-one so he'll have a better chance to get a touchdown?
Well, it's easier said than done, but it also depends on how the defense is going to play him. Look, I'm not a fan of throwing into double coverage. You don't have to force it. If it's there, it's there. If it's not, go somewhere else. The Raiders have got a talented enough receiver group, in my opinion, that they can do things that can open up times for Brock Bowers to get the football. More importantly, to spread the football around. What we're seeing so too often is that the quarterback goes through not even two people in his progression, goes through one and then takes a check down, gives up on a play too long. Mm-hmm. That's partly because the quarterbacks have been under constant duress throughout this season. They don't feel that they have 3 seconds to survey the field. So much to your point, when you talk about how do you get the ball downfield, well, first of all, you got to protect. Mm-hmm. That's first and foremost. You got to protect. You got to give the quarterback time to get the ball, survey the field. There are so many things that are wrong with today's game we don't have enough time to go into, in my opinion, from an offensive standpoint, as far as an offense being successful. But it's really hard to make these types of arguments when you see other offenses out there having success. So when you talk about specifically Brock Bowers, why is it that Travis Kelce can have success? Why is it that Kittles can have success? Why is it that all these other notable named tight ends around the league can have catches, touchdown success, and not Brock Bowers? Now, he's not devoid of success. He is having success, just hasn't scored touchdowns. So much to your point, red zone, as long as you and I have been working together, we've had some issues with red zone with this team. Can move the ball between the sticks, 20 by 20. Get in the red zone, you struggle. Red zone has always been something that's been developing here with the Raiders. Still not there yet.
Yeah, you're right, Lincoln. If Kelce could get 12 targets, Brock got 5. That you just summed it up beautifully. You got to get him more targets along the way. We're still looking for an identity. The coach is going to be coming up. It's something he wants to talk about. They want the identity to be running the football. It hasn't worked. You've spent hours talking to me about this. They still want to run it. You like to run it. I like to run it. I like to pass it more with this type of talent. And here we go again. Another really bad game running the ball and trying to prove a point on the 3-yard line and trying to just run right at Chris Jones, one of the greatest players to ever play in this league. So the identity is a question mark. How do they fix this, Lincoln? Because it's been going on a long time and we're almost at the bye week.
Well, first and foremost, this team's identity, JT, it's a defensive team. Mm-hmm. That's their identity. Defense, and it's, you know, complemented by special teams. Offense is not in void. It's embarrassing for me as a commentator, as a former player. It's embarrassing to me to see a team get down first and go on the 3-yard line and you can't get it in. I don't care who they have on defense. Chris Jones is not invincible. You've got to find a way to get the ball in the end zone. That's what matters. But if you're going to run your head up against the goalpost over and over again trying to prove a point, then either there's two things that has to change, in my opinion. Either you get new personnel on your offensive line that can block and can sustain blocks, or you tell them there's nothing we can do. What do you guys want to do? You know, I'm going to throw up my hands as a coach. What do you guys want to do? Because there's nothing we can do right. It's coming up to individuals having to play correctly and having to know where they're supposed to be, not having critical errors like turnovers or penalties that slow down the offense to where you're sitting there saying that I want to run the football. We're going to run it right here. Now you got to stop it. But you can't have your back getting the ball from the quarterback and making cuts in the holes. You can't have free running defenders coming at him downhill when he's trying to get the football, just trying to figure out where to run the football. That goes back to scheme. That goes back to execution. That actually goes back to just overall play. The Raiders offensive line has got to do a better job at blocking the front seven. Any design defense, blocking the front seven, block the box. I'll worry about the other intangibles of my receivers and tight ends and so on, but block the box. They haven't done that. They haven't done that consistently throughout this season.
Tremendous analysis as always by the great Lincoln Kennedy. As we get to Cincinnati here, they're not very good on third down and red zone defense. As I look at the numbers, their third down defense is ranked 26th, and their third down conversion percentage is one of the poorest in the league. So as we talked about it, they're almost begging you to take shots on third down. So this is a very critical question. They're telling you what they don't do right. It's red zone and it's third down. And this is something that the Raiders don't do well. They're not good in the red zone, and at times they're not very good on third down. This gives the team, Link, the opportunity to be successful. Figure out what you want to run here in Henderson. Run it over and over and over again because you know you're going to be in the red zone. Cincinnati lets you get to the red zone, and that's where they're most vulnerable. So I think the team would be really excited about this matchup.
Well, I mean, there's times where you can be excited about it, JT. Mm-hmm. It just, I don't know if this team is there yet offensively because they continue to struggle. There's been times, and we've seen them, JT, where they've come out and they've had drives that they look like gamebusters. They look like they can compete with anyone in the league. And there's been other times where they can't get a second down and one, or they can't get a fourth down and one by running the ball, by even a quarterback sneak. So the inconsistencies kind of add to themselves when you talk about other teams' deficiencies. The fact that Cincinnati is struggling on defense and in certain categories doesn't mean anything to the Raiders because in the sense that they haven't got anything going. You don't have anything to look forward to. So much to your point, here's what's going to happen in third down because I've seen it, and this is what's going to happen in the red zone. You've seen it all year. Teams are going to play aggressive more on with bump and run coverage on the outside. They're going to have a linebacker, they're going to have an extra man down the hole, daring you to try to run the ball against an 8-man and maybe possibly a 9-man box. But they're going to press close because they know one or two. They know one thing. The fact that Raiders are more than one thing. The Raiders have issues running the football, first and foremost, JT. And that hasn't changed throughout the season. But even when they want to pass the ball, don't give up the short or intermediate routes. Force them to go long. And I'm not talking about 50-50 balls because 50-50 balls are a gamble. But when you have the speed of Trey Tucker, when you have the speed of some of the guys that we have, you know, Jacoby Myers, they can, you know, they have a pretty good catch radius. You just have to be accurate and you have to be secure. So what Gardner needs to make sure of when he's going to take that deep shot, one, don't have a safety in the hole. And if there is, look him off. Give yourself enough time to come back to your receiver to take a shot on. But that and those types of tries, if you will, those types of attempts to stretch the field downfield will keep those safeties honest rather than get them nosy in the backfield.
Well, that's disappeared. They got to throw the ball deep. I mean, you have to now, especially with the record. Take some shots and get it going here. Bengals passing game. Joe Burrow is just a really good player. When healthy, he's always injured. He doesn't play much in the preseason, and he gets banged up a lot. I don't know if it's because the protection isn't always good, and this team's got a lot of egos. It's Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. I predicted that one right in the offseason. They were chirping about money. Chase was showing up to practice because he didn't want to take the fine, and he didn't practice the whole preseason here. Higgins doesn't want to be franchise tag. Burrow, he's over in Paris at Fashion Week, and I'm saying, watch out, because Mahomes is sitting there going, we win all these Super Bowls, not you guys, but they're very good at playing in Kansas City. I know how good they are, Lincoln, when Burrow has a clean pocket and he can attack downfield. If you give him an extra half second or a second, Chase or Higgins is going to break open and make a big play.
Probably one of the best ever do it. Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, John and Joe Burrow, the thing is that much to what you're talking about is the current climate. That's not only in professional sports, it's also in collegiate sports with NIL. Mm-hmm. These divas, these prima donnas are bigger than the team concept. I'm not necessarily a big fan of it. I don't like it, but of course I'm not playing. I'm just commentating on it. Mm-hmm. The fact is that when you have this many personalities in the locker room, you have to find a way to pacify them. And I remember had the opportunity of playing with Tim Brown and Jerry Rice at the same time. I remember both of those guys coming off the field many games, chirping about, I was open, I need to get the ball, I need to get the ball. And I'm feeling sorry for Rich at the time. It's like, there's only one football. Mm-hmm. So it goes around. You can say, you share that sort of story around the league with a lot of different places, a lot of different people and stuff like that. But the truth of the matter, much to your point, JT, Kansas City's been winning championships. So obviously Cincinnati, what you've done, you've gotten close, you've challenged, you've been in that area before, hasn't been enough. So this is a learning experience for them, but I'm hoping the Raiders find a way to get themselves right before anyone else.
Lincoln, we spent a month talking about the positive side of the Raiders' third down defense against the Rams, 2-10, Steelers 4-13, Broncos 3-12. So the third down defense was really well, and then along comes Kansas City, and they were fantastic, 12-16 for Kansas City on third down. Link, a lot of that went to Travis Kelce. They didn't put their hands on him like we talked about. The middle of the field was open again, and Mahomes just shuffles to the right. He had a big run, which was a really big run when you look at the distance and the amount and where it was in the game. But just a step back for Patrick Graham's unit that seemed to be cleaning up that statistical category.
If you can play, if the defense can play well on first down and not give up too many yards, especially, you know, teams that take chunks with running the football, you set yourself up in second and third down to immediate or intermediate or long. This defense has the advantage. When you talk about the potency of the pass rush, not having a blitz, you got the great Max Crosby, but other guys have coming on. Tyree Wilson has played better. You know, you've got Adam Butler who's played better and playing very well, John Jenkins. You've had other guys that have come into the fray and have been a part of that pass rush. And that's what most offensive coordinators that you're playing against are taking notice of it. If you look at the game plan for a lot of the teams that the Raiders are playing, they're not holding on to the football. They're not going to sit there and survey the field unless they absolutely have to. They're going to get the football out of the hand. That's why I wish that the middle of the field was a lot tighter, a little bit closer to grade. But the problem is, not necessarily the problem, the issue is that we've seen a couple of times, I mean, Spillane has had some interceptions that come to mind, being in the right place at the right time. Divine Diablo's interception was called back due to the penalty, right. But he had that's where you're supposed to be. And that's where you take a lot of those hooks, stop routes, hitch routes away. If quarterbacks see that there's somebody sitting there or picking off the ball, you take those away. The Raiders aren't there yet, but they're close.
Finally, last topic, Trey Hendrickson versus Max Crosby, two of the best to do it in this league, period. I mean, Max is getting a lot of the coverage on this team, and Trey in Cincinnati doesn't get it because of Chase and Burrow. They get all the attention, but he is just a motor guy. You got two guys, and he comes off the field, Trey Hendrickson, a little bit more because Max never comes off the field. But I think these are two guys similar to T.J. Watt. When they play against each other on opposite sidelines, they know they want to put on a show.
You notice how the emergence, not necessarily emergence because it's always been around, JT, but sort of how the coming of to age and big-time news that the edge rusher has become. You talk about you talk about Max Crosby. You go around the league. You know, you got the Khalil Max and the Bosa's, and we're talking about Hendrick too. You talk about all these guys that are disruptors, don't have to have huge games, but can have a big game, a big impact. And that's what you get out of the defensive line, especially the defensive ends. And something as a former offensive tackle that always perturbed me, we could go out there for 75, almost 80 plays a game. I could play very well. But if I give up two sacks, your player of the game, the defensive guy. what about the last 78 plays, whatever it is? It comes down to that. But to be a disruptor is a definite advantage for no matter what team you're playing on. That's why it's so good to have Max Crosby a part of the silver and black. Look, every team's got their own players. They get paid over there too. So you got to keep mind of it. But it's good to have somebody as rewarding and gratifying as number 98 out representing us.
Well, Link, you know, it's always great to have you on. Safe travels to Cincinnati. And then the bye week. You need a bye week, not because you need it. You just travel, college, pro, and all this. And I hope you have some fun on the bye week, and I hope the Raiders get a win.
Well, the thing is that I've already got my vote in, so I've got one less thing to do on the bye week, and I'm looking forward to that. So I am looking forward to it. But I'm hoping the Raiders get a win at Cincinnati. It's been a long time since we won there.
Thanks, Link. There he is, the great Lincoln Kennedy. What a thrill to talk to him. Here's our Raider Nation Radio lineup. If you're watching on YouTube, I know you're listening on Raider Nation Radio, the morning tailgate, 7 to 10 a.m. all Pacific time. Rich Eisen. From 10 to noon, I ran into Rich at the World Series. I went to game one with my son in Los Angeles, bumped into Rich. We took selfies with our son. So, Rich, good to see him in L.A. I'm on every day, noon to 2, and then Q Myers, Unnecessary Roughness, from 2 to 5 p.m. So that's what we got lined up for you. Good programming over the bye week, and then we'll be back, and it's Miami. And I'm excited to go to Miami. I'm going on a road trip for that one, and I know the Raider Nation is going to show up big time in Miami and South Beach like they always do. So coming up next, the head coach will join us, Antonio Pierce, and then we'll get Levi Edwards in here from the digital team. We'll look ahead to Cincinnati. Remember, playing Cincinnati in the playoffs, first and goal at the 9 a couple of years ago, the Raiders had an opportunity to advance in the playoffs, and they got that big stop there, and there was some controversy on some calls, late hits out of bounds. I know Cincinnati remembers that game as they went on in the playoffs, and the Raiders did not. So there is some juice in this game, and this is the last stand for Cincinnati. For everybody over the last couple of weeks saying, well, if they get on a roll here, they might make it to the playoffs. They're 0-4 at home. So the Raiders have an opportunity to get them to 0-5 and really put the dagger in them, which would be nice, and then get the Raiders a win before the bye week. We're always busy here on the Raiders YouTube channel and all the platforms here at Silver and Black Productions. When we come back, head coach Antonio Pierce will join us on Raiders Rundown. Head coach Antonio Pierce joins us. Coach, let's begin. You had a 10-7 lead against Kansas City. Things were working out well. What'd you see at that point and then after halftime?
Yeah, I think, you know, just opportunities there, right? Really go to the third quarter where we had that sequence of plays with the – we kicked off to them, got them pinned inside the 15, got a couple penalties, got the interception, and there's an opportunity there. The ball's on the three-yard line. Got to find a way to punch it in. We did not. And then you can feel the game, and obviously another turnover there to end it. And at that point, you know, we're fighting for our lives. But I love the fight. I love the competitiveness. I love the effort that we gave. Again, this is going to come down to execution. Take care of the football. Better in the penalty situation. I thought we had a good idea and a good plan in a run game defensively. Got to do a better job with Kelce early on in the game. I thought we got him going too early, and especially in that first half. Let him off the hook a couple times.
I want to get to the Spillane injury. I was in the stands at that point, and when he came to the sidelines, I thought he was done. Yep. I mean, he couldn't put pressure on his leg. He goes into the tent and comes out, and he's out there again. Can you take us through his warrior aspect and how he was able to play after that?
I'll tell you what, man. You talk about a guy, I keep saying that, loves football.
Yeah.
Like, loves the game. And I went to him right after he got the blue tent. He was sitting there, and I'm kind of like, you know, I was checking him out, and he's like, I'm good. I said, you sure? He's like, man, I'm good. AP, I'm not missing this one. And for him to go out there, and regardless of how he finished playing statistically or how it looked on film, that's the mindset and that's the fight, and that's what we talk about in our meeting rooms, of just continue to battle, man, giving your team each and everything that you have, leaving the gas tank empty, and he did that on Sunday.
What'd you see with Trayvon Merrick coming into the box, tackling? He gets the tipped interception, almost got in the end zone there. A lot of fight from him, too.
Yeah, I think Trayvon, you know, quietly kept, is really having a really good season. I think two interceptions on the season. Closer to the box he gets, the more plays he's making, especially on the other side line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage. Being more vocal again, we talked about the loss a couple weeks ago with Marcus Epps, but I think just his role has expanded more and more. Patrick Graham getting him more involved, either in pressures or down the box, disguising. He's a physical player who now in year four is really coming to his own.
Let's stay on that with Epps gone. You told me a lot that they're like twins. They're with each other all the time. How is he handling without that? We haven't heard much from Epps since the injury, and how Trayvon's becoming even a bigger leader.
Yeah, I think Epps, he's coming along well. Obviously, he had surgery. Wishing him the best going forward. I think with Trayvon, I think what he really understood now is that he has to be that vocal leader. He has to be the centerpiece of the back end. Spill controls the front. We need that extra tentacle in the back end to get, you know, our corners, you know, Nate Hobbs at star, all aligned. And he's playing with a guy in his first time starting a lot of games, and Isaiah Palomao, who's playing really well as well. I think our safeties combined, the core of those two guys, their tackling, the ability to make plays in space, I think has really shown up for us.
Brock leads the league in receptions, but I know you're trying to get him in the end zone. So what can change here in the red zone with him, getting him in motion? We know everybody's keeping an eye on him, but that's got to be frustrating knowing that he can do it from the 20 get him open.
Yeah, you got to move him around, got to put him in different positions, and then they give him a shot. It doesn't matter if they have eyes on him. He's better than most of the guys he's going against, and we've seen that. I mean, we could throw up against the ball against their number one corner on our sideline, and he goes up there and, you know, he mosses him, right? Top hat, makes the play. The physicality, I mean, hell, he knocked out another corner by how he's running after the ball, which we talked about. So just, we got to be more creative of moving him around. Hell, put him at the backfield. I don't care. At this point, we need to score touchdowns because we're down there too many times too often and they're not putting points on the board.
What's going on with your quarterback decision this week with the two quarterbacks that you'll have up ready to go?
Yeah, they'll both get reps this week in practice, and, you know, Gardner will start, and we'll see what happens after that.
We'll go to the other quarterback, Joe Burrow. He's something. They haven't won at home this year, which is kind of shocking for them because they were, you know, predicted to be a Super Bowl contender here, but this is kind of a do-or-die game for them. And the quarterback, when he's healthy and has protection, he's lethal.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch him, don't look at the record.
Yeah.
Look at Ja'Marr Chase. When T. Higgins is out there, and then you look at this quarterback standing in there, he's getting hit. He's got pressure consistently. He doesn't flinch, doesn't blink, making big-time throws. And, hell, now you're watching him on third and whatever, 15-plus, and he runs for a 50-yard touchdown. So he's doing everything he can to help his team and willing them to victories. And It's going to be a tough matchup. Obviously, we know they're struggling at home, but that doesn't really matter. We got to handle our business on the road.
Eric Allen talks about the maturation of Jakorian Bennett and his stats and way he looks now. Now you got Chase. You feel comfortable if he's on Jack's side or your young player's side, number zero, that they can handle him, especially with his speed and ability to run after the catch.
Yeah, I mean, Jamar Chase is elite. When you really watch him on film now, forget the record, and I know he's got, I think he's number one in targets and receptions and all these other numbers, but it shows up on film. His ability to gain yards after the catch, after contact, the ability to make those contested one-on-one completions, and then just, I mean, I think just overall a good football player. And obviously, all hands, it doesn't matter if it's JB, Jack, you know, if they put him inside and he's on Nate Hobbs, we got to have eyes on him. We got to disrupt him. But more importantly, we got to disrupt the quarterback so they don't have that time in as well.
Trey Hendrickson's a hell of a player, and similar stats to Max every year. I think Max, what's different with Max is, you know, he doesn't come out of the game. A lot of these other guys will come out for a breather. He could be a beast in trouble here. You just came off Jones from Kansas City. What do you do to limit him?
Yeah, another game record. Got to keep our eyes and hands on him. You know, he's on demand, too. We can't allow these one-on-one matchups. I thought, going back to last week, I thought we did a decent job on Chris Jones, especially in passing downs. And he's always on finding a way. Good players find a way to be disruptive at certain times in the game. But we got to do the same thing with 91. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see that every day in practice from Max. So that's a good part about our offensive line. They see it. They know what it looks like. Now we just got to get, you know, a couple more sets of hands and eyes on them and obviously get the ball out.
That's a good segue to what I wanted to ask you about the offensive line. With the injuries, we wait for the injury report to come out and inactives on game day. With the guys who have been out then coming back in again, do you feel like the chemistry, you're getting used to different pairings and seeing what you like?
You don't want that at O-line.
No.
You don't want to be playing mix, you know, mix and match and who's in, who's at center, who's at guard. I mean, we've been doing that all year, and no excuse. I mean, there's nothing we can do. It's the nature of the beast with injuries. And I would say this, we're getting a lot of good play from our younger guys. You know, there's mistakes there, of course. But you got to keep finding a way to get the best five guys and get them to play in consecutive weeks. Not even in weeks, but just how about in practice? You know, there's too often, even throughout the week, we don't have an opportunity to go with our same five guys Wednesday through Friday. And again, not trying to feel sorry for us. It's the nature of the beast. Yeah. But that's something we're battling with, and to those players' credits, they're doing their best they can.
And you preach the physicality, what you want from them. They all get that, too, as you try to get this running game going every week.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to change. I mean, I've said that's our DNA, that's our identity, that's what I want us to look like. When we got the ball, you know, 6 inches from the goal line, we're going to run the ball. We're not going to throw it. It's man up. That's the name of the game, physical football. And we're going to go at it again this week and keep preaching on the run game and get that thing going.
We're going to talk to you after the bye week. Obviously, we're focused on this game. Then we have a bye week and then Miami there. So just your message to the fans as they'll talk to you after the bye week, the struggle with the record, but the fight and the will that this team has.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can question our effort, our fight, how competitive we are, you know, the togetherness. I mean, there's a lot of people poking holes in the armor right now, and guys are not flinching and blinking. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. We get it with our record being 2-6, not what we expected. But I think when you watch us play, regardless of how ugly it is at certain points of the game, you know, in the fourth quarter, we're giving ourselves a chance to either tie it up or win it. And we've had those opportunities. And we're going to keep fighting. We're going out to work each and every week because we get paid for 17 weeks. And until this bad boy's over at the end of the season, they're going to get our best effort.
Good luck, Coach.
Thank you.
Everything has to step up now. Everything has to go to the next level.
He really has the ability to read those holes and really gravitate towards making those big plays, whether it's in the rushing game or in the passing game.
This guy's got some of the tool. We've seen him throw the ball. I mean, you really got to ask yourself, what can he not do? And he's the ultimate team player.
It's hard to overlook the ability and the potential that this young man has.
Raiders.com is your home for all things silver and black. Read Rachel Goosen's Week 9 game preview, which gives the details you need to know about the matchup in Cincinnati. Game preview is uploaded weekly and provides insight and analysis into the Raiders' weekly matchup. Visit Raiders.com/news. JT back with Levi Edwards from our digital team. We got a lot to cover here, so I'll jump right in. 10-7 lead against Kansas City. You're doing things right. The team is ready to win, not hanging the game. And then it's the old Kansas City, end of the second quarter, beginning of the third. And they were able to get some points there, enough points to eventually win the game.
When it came down to it, Andy Reid is one of the best at game management of really being able to put together strings of drives and really crucial moments and really kill the clock. He's just the best at that. He's been like that since he was even in Philadelphia. And unfortunately, I feel at times there were a couple of laps with just how we were able to handle the clock and continue to extend drives in certain situations. And I think ultimately that's what you led to the demise of the Raiders.
Yeah, what disappointed me the most is the Raiders didn't play for points at the end of the second quarter. They were more looking at Kansas City not wanting to have explosive plays. I don't think you do that with a 2-5 record. I think with that point in time, you go win the game because they were the last team to beat them. And then down the stretch, Gardner had an unfortunate turnover. But the good, solid takeaways, one of them I want to get to is Robert Spillane. And I mentioned this with Coach, his injury, when he went down and I looked at him and I was sitting there with my wife and son, and as we take a look at it here on YouTube and for those who are listening, I thought he was done for the year. For the year at this point, because when he was down, he grabbed his helmet, the chin strap, took it off. He couldn't put any pressure on his knee, ankle at that point in time. I said, don't tell me we're going to have another injury. And as you see, Levi, he came back, and he came back instantly, proving he's a warrior.
Unfortunately, I thought the exact same thing. Yeah. I was in the press box, and you had the TV broadcast also overlooking me, and I could see the injury as it happened, and he was hobbling, couldn't put any weight on it, and I was a little freaked out because this is your starting linebacker. You already had Diablo gone for a couple of games, and this is a guy who's leading the league in tackles, and you think you're about to be without him for a substantial amount of time. And then lo and behold, next drive, he stressed back out like nothing happened and continues to do what he's doing.
Amazing.
And it's really just a testament to how tough he is. And this is a guy that Antonio Pierce has been a fan of since he was the linebackers coach of the Raiders. And this is a guy that they sought out. And Patrick Graham was very clear about this is a guy that we felt could have been so much better than what we saw in Pittsburgh, and we want him here so we can get his full potential, and he's done that so far.
Let's get to what you're writing about. Levi Edwards joins us. Max Crosby versus Joe Burrow. This is a unbelievable Hollywood matchup. Max is in Hollywood, but they cover him like that around here, and then Joe Burrow is kind of Hollywood on top of that. You've been following Joe Burrow since his college years and his Heisman Trophy year. What does Max have to look forward to with the offensive line for Cincinnati if he's going to get to Burrow?
Well, Cincinnati, this year in particular, has actually been a lot better of an offensive line than they have in recent memory. Really, the only plague that the Cincinnati Bengals has had over the last couple of years, even with their success, has been lack of, you know, efficient pass blocking. Mm-hmm. And so now Joe Burrow has that, and you can see in his numbers over 70% completion percentage, 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's having a career year, despite whatever the record shows you. So for Max Crosby, it's not even going to be on just him, but it's going to be on the whole defensive line to get pressure. Joe Burrow's a guy who is hovering over 60% completion percentage while being under pressure. And that's amazing, you know, considering the amount of pressure that teams are still able to get on him. So Max is really going to have to hit him, get him on the ground, do what he does. Still very effective, 22% edge pass blocking win rate, 32% win rate when he's stopping the run. So Max is still getting in the backfield no matter what teams are trying to do against him. So if he can do his job and the rest of the line can do their job, he's going to make Joe Burrow's life very difficult.
Tyree Wilson had a sack. Is that going to help him build up mentally? I mean, we're at a point now where we don't need a sack to get him mentally up or down. He's a pro. He's got to have more sacks. He's got to have more pressures. What have you seen from him?
I think each week you just continue to see him improve, to see him make strides. And like you said, sacks are great. Sacks are the sexy stat when you're a defensive lineman, everybody is shooting for. But with Tyree, what we need is pressures. You need to be behind the line of scrimmage. You need to be in the backfield making opportunities for other people to be making plays as well as yourself. And so with Tyree Wilson, with the speed off the line of scrimmage getting a little better, you see him really being aggressive, using his body, using his strength to really get in the backfield. And Antonio Pierce said it earlier today. He's a young player, and he was hurt for the majority of his rookie year. So he just needs the reps. He just needs to continue to get on the field and get better. And as he gets better, the rest of the defense will get better as well.
Levi Edwards is our guest as we continue. Ja'Corian Bennett versus Ja'Marr Chase or T. Higgins available. If not, Ja'Corian, this is a good test for him. It's a week before the bye week. He's a young player. He's played well this year. He's got really good PFF grades. You wrote about this matchup. What do you see?
Well, when you look at the numbers that Ja'Marr Chase is putting up right now, a guy that is going into his sixth season, with Joe Burrow as his quarterback, two at LSU, now in his fourth season at Cincinnati Bengals. That's 6 years you've been with the same quarterback. So the chemistry there is insane. And right now you can see it in the stats where Ja'Marr Chase is currently leading the league in receiving yards and in touchdown receptions with 7 touchdowns. So they're clicking. And so one thing I will say is that Jacorian Bennett, like the zero on his jersey, has allowed 0 touchdowns to any receiver in coverage this season. 7 pass deflections leading the team. This is a guy that you can just, whenever I talk to him in the locker room or whenever I see him play, the maturity of this young player, and he continues to make strides. And I'm really excited to see this matchup because when you look on paper, this arguably could be the best receiver that he has to go up against it again this season.
That's a big deal because on the other side you have Cam Taylor-Britt going up against Jacoby Myers. What do you see there for Jacoby and the win rate and what he could do to have a big game? Because we haven't talked a lot about Brock. We did before you came in here. You got Brock, you got Jacoby, you got guys that are going to have to now step up here because I see a lot of defenses paying more and more attention to Brock Bowers.
You're exactly right, and that's why Jacoby Myers, to me, in this match against the Bengals, is just as, if not more important than how Brock plays. Because with what Jacoby can do, he's going to take pressure off of Brock. That way, when Brock is doing his thing and he gets open, he's going to be able to have really good looks because more of the coverage is going to be looking at Jacoby. And also, Jacoby's just a really damn good receiver. He's a guy that he doesn't really have a weakness when you watch him. He's athletic. He's big in size. He's a really good route runner, really good in space. He can juke defenders, really good with leverage. He just is a really good, fundamentally sound receiver. So to have somebody like that for Gardner Minshew is crucial, especially going up against another big cornerback like Cam Taylor-Britt. So I'm really excited for that matchup because it could really make or break the offense in this game.
Levi Edwards, as we wrap it up, the history of this rivalry, the Raiders lead the series 21-13 in the last 3 games. They're 1-2. Raiders last played the Bengals during the 2021 season. They lost 32-13. And then the wild card game where they lost 26-19. That was a troublesome game because the Raiders had a look. First and goal at the 9. And I remember that game and what they were fighting for. Interim coach, everything that was on the line there in that game. And I just thought if they found a way to get a score, there was some referee issues in that game and they just couldn't do it. And it kind of ended an era of a bunch of players there that I think eventually would leave. There's new players there now. I really believe deep down from anchoring that broadcast pre and post, that was a window for the Raiders to make a playoff run. They had the players to do it, the health of the team there, but they came up short against Cincy.
I 100% agree, and I'm going to be honest with you, and this might be a little ambitious. I believe if the Raiders beat Cincinnati, they make it to the AFC Championship game that year. I think that they would beat the Titans, and they would have to have a very difficult matchup in Arrowhead. But just the way that season went, just how high they were riding on adrenaline, how many close games they had won. When they got down to that goal line, I told myself if they score this touchdown to tie the game, they're going to go to overtime and they're going to win. And even just with the back and forth and even having to overcome the amount of adversity that they had to get to that game and get to that final drive was so crucial within that season. And there's a lot of new players here on this team, but when you look at the roster, there's still 8 guys on the active roster that were on that team in 2021 when they faced the Cincinnati Bengals in the wild card. And I guarantee you those 8 players on the team still remember that, and it still probably eats at them a lot. So I believe when they go to Cincinnati and they step on that field, it's going to be deja vu, flashback right to that moment. It's going to get them ready to go.
It's not a cold weather game. The weather should be decent for the Raiders. Hey, as we wrap this up, everybody's getting a bye week. You work a lot. The players need to get healthy. I didn't like when the schedule came out where the bye week was. I thought it was too deep into the season with all the injuries that the Raiders have been fighting through. It would have been nice to get it in week 5, 6, or 7. That wasn't the case. So after this game, you'll come back here to headquarters. The Raider players who get treatment will be back. But I think a lot of these guys need to get out of here and get a break. That's what the bye week is back. Connect with their families. Get away from football for a few days. It's only a few days. And then after that, they come back here, and then they have to fly to Miami, one of the longest trips of the year. So there's a lot of work going into the bye week and coming out of the bye.
Most definitely, especially with the fact that you're facing a Miami Dolphins team that gets Tua back. Mm-hmm. He's clear concussion protocol. He had a pretty productive game in his return last Sunday. So it's going to be difficult, especially having to travel across the country to face a very explosive team, if not the most explosive team in the NFL when they're fully
healthy.
So they definitely need to do what they do in terms of spending time with family, not necessarily getting away from football because this is still, you know, you're in the thick of it, but you really just need to settle down, calm down, remember you still have SOWA games left, and get ready to go.
Appreciate everything you do. Raiders.com, all your work is up there, correct?
Correct. Raiders.com, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all platforms. Go read it, please. Me, Rachel, and, you know, Carter Owen, we put out some really good work.
You
so
do.
We're going to continue to crank out as much content and as much good things as we can for you guys to read.
We'll see you after the bye week.
I appreciate it.
There he is, Levi Edwards. Let's take a look at our programming here as we're set to go. Morning Tailgate. That's our morning show. Clay Baker, Vince Sapienza, and Vinny Bonson. You are Rich Eisen into my show, noon to 2 every day. Unnecessary Roughness is Q Myers, and he comes up. He's in the building all the time as we get you set here for the bye week coverage. We got some specialty programming coming up here, and then the television. I mean, we knocked out a lot here at Silver and Black Productions, which is great working for this organization because they have a vibrant group behind the scenes that like to put out great programming as we continue on. So let's get to where the Raiders are at right now. We'll be back after the bye week, and we'll get ready for Miami. This is a game the Raiders have to win. I know I've been saying that every week. That's what I say. They were 2-2. 2-2 in the season right in front of them. Now with 4 losses in a row, they are desperate for a win. Will they make a quarterback change or not? We'll see. The coach will make that decision later on in the week. But they're going to play against Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow hasn't won a game this year in Cincinnati. After the bye, Miami, and then Denver, and we get Denver at home, and that's a must-win game right off Thanksgiving around the holiday time because Denver already got the Raiders, and that's going to be a payback game. So for everybody else who's listening and watching, you can switch on over, follow me on YouTube at JT the Brick YT. All of my shows are up there. I appreciate it if you could subscribe and share. And for everybody at Silver and Black Productions, we appreciate you joining us on Raiders Rundown. It's been a lot of fun doing this. We'll continue to do it here with the best guest here within the building, the excitement about what's happening, also what we're doing in the community, which is really important along the way. There's a lot going on here behind the scenes on the business side, and especially with community relations. And I don't know of an owner, other than Mark Davis, that does this much for the alumni and what this team does in the city of Las Vegas. And happy Halloween to everyone out there. If you got young kids, be careful, be safe. If you like to celebrate, there's no better place to have Halloween than in Las Vegas, I can tell you that. And for everybody watching around the country, we really appreciate that. The Raiders are at a pivotal point in the season. You don't want to look at the bye week, but you know it's coming. But it would be great for everybody on this roster to get a much-needed win, take some time off, see their family and friends, and then come back for the journey to Miami and South Beach to take on the Miami Dolphins. Thanks again for joining us on Raiders Rundown. I'm JT. Have a great week, and go Raiders.